8. Gentle movements, longer life. Exercises from the East that promote health and longevity. Studies from the Blue Zone suggest that the people who live longest are not the ones who do the most exercise, but rather the ones who move the most. When we visited Ogimi, the village of longevity, we discovered that even people over 80 and 90 years old are still highly active. They don't stay at home looking out the window or reading the newspaper. Ogimi's residents walk a lot, do karaoke with the neighbors, get up early in the morning, and as soon as they've had breakfast or even before, head outside to weed their gardens. They don't go to the gym or exercise intensely, but they almost never stop moving in the course of their daily routines. As easy as getting out of your chair. Metabolism slows down 90% after 30 minutes of sitting. The enzymes that move the bad fat from your arteries to your muscles where it can get burned off slow down. And after 2 hours, good cholesterol drops 20%. Just getting up for 5 minutes is going to get things going again. These things are so simple they're almost stupid, says Gavin Bradley in a 2015 interview with Bridget Schult for The Washington Post. Bradley is one of the preeminent experts on the subject and the director of an international organization dedicated to building awareness of how detrimental sitting all the time can be to our health. If we live in a city, we might find it hard to move in natural and healthy ways every day, but we can turn to exercises that have proven for centuries to be good for the body. The Eastern disciplines for bringing body, mind, and soul into balance have become quite popular in the West, but in their countries of origin, they have been used for ages to promote health. Yoga, originally from India, though very popular in Japan, and China's Qigong and Tai Chi, among other disciplines, seek to create harmony between a person's body and mind so they can face the world with strength, joy, and serenity. They are touted as elixirs of youth, and science has endorsed the claim. These gentle exercises offer extraordinary health benefits and are particularly appropriate for older individuals who have a harder time staying fit. Tai Chi has been shown, among other things, to slow the development of osteoporosis and Parkinson's disease, to increase circulation, and to improve muscle tone and flexibility. Its emotional benefits are just as important. It is a great shield against stress and depression. You don't need to go to the gym for an hour every day or run marathons. As Japanese centenarians show us, all you need is to add movement to your day. Practicing any of these Eastern disciplines on a regular basis is a great way to do so. An added benefit is that they all have well-defined steps, and as we heard in Chapter 4, disciplines with clear rules are good for flow. If you don't like any of these disciplines, feel free to choose a practice that you love and that makes you move. In the following pages, we'll take a look at some of the practices that promote health and longevity. But first, a little appetizer, a singularly Japanese exercise for starting your day. Radio Taiso. This morning warm-up has been around since before World War II. The radio part of its name is from when the instructions for each exercise were transmitted over the radio. But today, people usually do these movements while tuned to a television channel or internet video demonstrating the steps. One of the main purposes of doing radio taiso is to promote a spirit of unity among participants. The exercises are always done in groups, usually in schools before the start of classes, and in businesses before the workday begins. Statistics show that 30% of Japanese practice radio taiso for a few minutes every morning. But radio taiso is one thing that almost everyone we interviewed in Ogimi had in common. Even the residents of the nursing home we visited dedicated at least 5 minutes every day to it, though some did the exercises from their wheelchairs. We joined them on their daily practice and we felt refreshed for the rest of the day. When these exercises are done in a group, it is usually on a sports field or in a large reception hall and typically involves some kind of loudspeaker. The exercises take 5 or 10 minutes, depending on whether you do all or only some of them. They focus on dynamic stretching and increasing joint mobility. One of the most iconic radio taiso exercises consists of simply raising your arms above your head and then bringing them down in a circular motion. It is a tool to wake up the body, an easy mobility workout that is low in intensity and that focuses on exercising as many joints as possible. It might seem basic, but in our modern lives, we can spend days without raising our arms above our ears. Think about it. Our arms are down when using computers, when using smartphones, when reading books. One of the few times we raise our hands over our heads is when reaching for something in the cupboard or closet, while our ancestors were raising their hands over their heads all the time when gathering things from trees. Radio Tysel helps us to practice all the basic movements of the body. See PDF. Yoga. Popular in Japan as well as in the West, yoga can be done by almost anyone. Some of its poses have even been adapted for pregnant women and practitioners with physical disabilities. Yoga comes from India, where it's developed millennia ago to unite our mental and physical elements. The word yoga itself comes from the Sanskrit term for yoke, which refers to the crosspiece that binds draft animals to one another and to the cart they're pulling. Yoga strives to unite body and mind in the same way, guiding us towards a healthy lifestyle in harmony with the world around us. The main objectives of yoga are to bring us closer to our human nature, mental and physical purification, to bring us closer to the divine. Styles of yoga. Though all are oriented towards similar goals, there are many different types of yoga that vary accordingly to the traditions and texts from which they were developed. The differences among them lie, as the masters say, in the path taken to the summit of our best self. Jnana yoga, the yoga of wisdom, the search for discipline and mental growth. Karma yoga focuses on action, on tasks and duties that benefit oneself and one's community. Bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion and surrender to the divine. Mantra yoga focuses on the recitation of mantras to reach a state of relaxation. Kundalini yoga combines diverse steps to reach the desired mental state. Raja yoga, also known as the royal path, encompasses a range of steps geared towards achieving communion with oneself and others. Hatha yoga, the most widespread form in the West and Japan, characterized by asanas or poses combined in a quest for balance. How to do a sun salutation. The sun salutation is one of the most iconic exercises in Hatha yoga. To do it, you simply have to follow these 12 basic movements. 1. With your feet together, stand up straight, but keep your muscles relaxed. Exhale. 2. Place the palms of your hands together in front of your chest. From this position, inhale as you raise your arms above your head and bend backward slightly. 3. Exhale as you bend forward until you touch the ground with the palms of your hands without bending your knees. 4. Stretch one leg back to touch the floor with the tips of your toes. Inhale. 5. Bring the other leg back, keeping your legs and arms straight as you hold your breath. 6. As you exhale, bend your arms and bring your chest to the ground and then forward, resting your knees on the ground. 7. Straighten your arms and bend your spine back, keeping the lower half of your body on the ground. Inhale. 8. With your hands and feet on the ground, lift your hips until your arms and legs are straight and your body forms an upside-down V. Exhale throughout the movement. 9. Bring forward the same leg you'd stretched back earlier and bend it so that your knee and foot are aligned under your head and between your hands. Inhale. 10. Exhale as you bring your back foot forward and straighten your legs, keeping your hands on the ground as in posture 3. 11. Bring your arms above your head with your palms together and bend backward slightly as you did in posture 2 while you inhale. 12. Lower your arms to their initial position in mountain pose while you exhale. You've just greeted the sun. Now you're ready to have a fantastic day. CPDF. Tai Chi, also known as Tai Chi Chuan or Tai Chi Quan. Tai Chi is a Chinese martial art that can be traced back hundreds of years to Buddhism and Confucianism. It is very popular in Japan too. According to Chinese tradition, it was created by the Taoist master and martial arts practitioner Zhang Senfeng, though it was Yang Lushan who in the 19th century brought the form to the rest of the world. Tai Chi was originally a neijia, or internal martial art, meaning its goal was personal growth. Focused on self-defense, it teaches those who practice it to defeat their adversaries by using the least amount of force possible and by relying on agility. Tai Chi, which is also seen as a means of healing body and mind, would go on to be used more frequently to foster health and inner peace. To encourage its citizens to be more active, the Chinese government promoted it as an exercise, and it lost its original connection to martial arts, becoming instead a source of health and well-being accessible to all. Styles of Tai Chi. There are different schools and styles of Tai Chi. The following are the best known. Chen style alternates between slow movements and explosive ones. Yang style, the most widespread of the forms, characterized by slow, fluid movements. Wu style utilizes small, slow, deliberate movements. Hao style, centered on internal movements with almost microscopic external movements, one of the least practiced forms of Tai Chi, even in China. Despite their differences, these styles all have the same objectives. 1. To control movement through stillness. 2. To overcome force through finesse. 3. To move second and arrive first. 4. To know yourself and your opponent. The 10 basic principles of Tai Chi. According to the master Yang Chenfu, the correct practice of Tai Chi follows 10 basic principles. 1. Elevate the crown of your head and focus all your energy there. 2. Tighten your chest and expand your back to lighten your lower body. 3. Relax your waist and let it guide your body. 4. Learn to differentiate between heaviness and lightness, knowing how your weight is distributed. 5. Relax the shoulders to allow free movement of the arms and promote the flow of energy. 6. Value the agility of the mind over the strength of the body. 7. Unify the upper and lower bodies so they act in concert. 8. Unify the internal and the external to synchronize mind, body, and breath. 9. Do not break the flow of your movement. Maintain fluidity and harmony. 10. Look for stillness in movement. An active body leads to a calm mind. Imitating clouds. One of the best-known movements in Tai Chi consists of following the form of clouds in an exercise called wave hands like clouds. Here are the steps. 1. Extend your arms in front of you with your palms down. 2. Turn your palms to face in, as though you were hugging a tree trunk. 3. Open your arms out to the side. 4. Bring the left arm up and center, and the right arm down and center. 5. Trace the shape of a ball in front of your body. 6. Turn your left palm towards your face. 7. Shift your weight to your left foot and pivot from your hip toward that side while your eyes follow the movement of your hand. 8. Bring your left hand to your waist and your right hand in front of your face. 9. Shift your weight to your right foot. 10. Pivot toward your right. Look at your raised right hand the entire time. 11. Repeat this movement fluidly, shifting your weight from one foot to the other as you reposition your hands. 12. Stretch your arms out in front of you again and bring them down slowly, returning to your initial position. See PDF. Qigong. Also known as Qigong, its name combines Qi, life force or energy, and Gong, work, indicating that the form works with the individual's life force. Though relatively modern, especially under its current name, the art of Qigong is based on the Tao Yin, an ancient art meant to foster mental and physical well-being. The practice began to appear in reports on training and martial arts at the beginning of the 20th century, and by the 1930s was being used in hospitals. The Chinese government later popularized it, as it had done with Tai Chi. Qigong involves static and dynamic physical exercises that stimulate respiration in a standing, seated, or reclined position. There are many different styles of Qigong, but all of them seek to strengthen and regenerate Qi. Though its movements are typically gentle, the practice is intense. Benefits of Qigong. According to numerous international scientific studies, Qigong, like Tai Chi and yoga, offers significant health benefits. The following stand out among those proven through scientific research, as observed by Dr. Kenneth M. Sancier of San Francisco's Qigong Institute in his article, Medical Applications of Qigong. Modification of brainwaves. Improved balance of sex hormones. Lower mortality rate from heart attacks. Lower blood pressure in patients with hypertension. Greater bone density. Better circulation. Deceleration of symptoms associated with senility. Greater balance and efficiency of bodily functions. Increased blood flow to the brain and greater mind-body connection. Improved cardiac function. Reduction in the secondary effects of cancer treatments. Practicing these arts not only keeps us in shape, it also helps extend our lives. Methods for practicing Qigong. In order to practice Qigong correctly, we should remember that our life energy flows through our whole body. We should know how to regulate its many parts. 1. Qiao Xian, regulating the body. By adopting the correct posture, it is important to be firmly rooted to the ground. Qiao Xi, regulating the breath until it is calm, steady, and peaceful. 3. Qiao Xin, regulating the mind, the most complicated part as it implies emptying the mind of thoughts. 4. Qiao Qi, regulating the life force through the regulation of the three prior elements so that it flows naturally. 5. Qiao Shen, regulating the spirit. The spirit is both strength and root in battle, as Yang Xuing Ming explains in The Essence of Taiji Qigong. In this way, the whole organism will be prepared to work together toward a single goal. The five elements of Qigong. One of Qigong's best-known exercises is a series representing the five elements: earth, water, wood, metal, and fire. This series of movements seeks to balance the five currents of energy in order to improve brain and organ function. There are several ways to do these movements. In this case, we're following the model of Professor Maria Isabel Garcia Monreal from the Qigong Institute in Barcelona. Earth. 1. Stand with your legs apart and your feet directly below your shoulders. 2. Turn your feet outward slightly to strengthen the posture. 3. Keep your shoulders relaxed and down and your arms loose at your sides, slightly away from your body. This is the Wu Qi, or rooted posture. 4. As you inhale, raise your arms in front of you until your hands are level with your shoulders, your palms facing down. 5. Exhale as you bend your knees and bring your arms down until your hands are level with your stomach, your palms facing in. 6. Hold this position for a few seconds, focusing on your breath. See PDF. Water. 1. Start from earth posture, bend your knees into a squat, keeping your chest upright and exhaling throughout. 2. Press your coccyx downward to stretch your lumbar spine. 3. As you inhale, stand to return to earth posture. 4. Repeat twice for a total of 3. See PDF. Wood. 1. Starting from earth posture, turn your palms upward and open your arms to the side, forming a circle as you inhale until your hands are level with your clavicle. Turn your hands so that your palms and elbows point downward while keeping your shoulders relaxed. 2. Reverse the movement as you exhale, making a downward circle with your arms until you reach your initial position. 3. Repeat twice for a total of 3. See PDF. Metal. 1. Starting from earth posture, raise your arms until your hands are level with your sternum. 2. Turn your palms towards each other, about 4 inches apart, with your fingers relaxed and slightly separated, pointing upwards. 3. As you inhale, move your hands away from each other until they are shoulder width apart. 4. As you exhale, bring your hands towards each other until they are back in position 2. 5. Repeat twice for a total of 3, observing the concentration of energy as you bring your hands together in front of your lungs. See PDF. Fire. 1. Starting from earth posture, bring your hands level with your heart as you inhale, with one hand slightly above the other and your palms facing each other. 2. Rotate your hands to feel the energy of your heart. 3. Turn from your waist gently to the left, keeping your torso relaxed and your forearms parallel to the ground. 4. With your palms still facing each other, separate your hands, bringing one up until it's level with your shoulder and the other one down in front of your abdomen. 5. Turn from your waist gently to the right, keeping your torso relaxed and your forearms parallel to the ground. 6. As you exhale, let your hands come back together in front of your heart. 7. With your palms still facing each other, separate your hands, bringing one up until it's level with your shoulder and the other down in front of your abdomen. See PDF. Completing the series. 1. Starting from the earth posture, inhale as you bring your hands level with your shoulders, palms facing down. 2. As you exhale, lower your arms to rest at your sides, returning to the initial Wu Qi posture. See PDF. Shiatsu, created in Japan in the early 20th century, principally for the treatment of arthritis, Shiatsu also works on energy flow through the application of pressure with the thumbs and the palms of the hands. In combination with stretching and breathing exercises, it seeks to create equilibrium among the different elements of the body. It is not important that a Tao Yin have a name, is imitating something, or is engraved in jade. What is important is the technique and the essence of what is really practiced. Stretching and contracting, bending and lifting of the head, stepping, lying down, resting or standing, walking or stepping slowly, screaming or breathing. Everything can be a Tao Yin. Ge Hong. Breathe better, live longer. The book Jiuzhen Shishu, known in the West as 10 Books on the Cultivation of Perfection, dates back to the 13th century and is a compendium of materials from diverse sources on developing the mind and body. It quotes, among others, the celebrated Chinese doctor and essayist Sun Simiao, who lived during the 6th century. Sun Simiao was a proponent of a technique called the Six Healing Sounds, which involves a coordination of movement, breathing, and pronouncing sounds with the purpose of bringing our souls to a place of calm. The six sounds are shh, which is associated with the liver, which is associated with the heart, sir, which is associated with the lungs, which is associated with the kidneys, which is associated with the spleen, Shi, which connects the whole body. The following poem by Sun Simiao offers clues about how to live well according to the season. It reminds us of the importance of breathing and suggests that as we breathe, we visualize the organs associated with each of the healing sounds. In spring, breathe for clear eyes and so wood can aid your liver. In summer, reach for so that heart and fire can be at peace. in fall, breathe, sir. To stabilize and gather metal, keeping the lungs moist. For the kidneys, next breathe, and see your inner waters calm. The triple heater needs your shh to expel all heat and troubles. In all four seasons, take deep breaths so your spleen can process food. And of course, avoid exhaling noisily. Don't let even your own ears hear you. The practice is most excellent and will help preserve your divine elixir. It might feel confusing to be presented with all the Eastern traditions we have introduced in this chapter. The takeaway is that they all combine a physical exercise with an awareness of our breath. These two components, movement and breath, helps us to bring our consciousness in line with our body instead of allowing our mind to be carried away by the sea of daily worries. Most of the time, we are just not aware enough of our breathing. 9. Resilience and wabi-sabi. How to face life's challenges without letting stress and worry age you. What is resilience? One thing that everyone with a clearly defined ikigai has in common is that they pursue their passion no matter what. They never give up, even when the cards seem stacked against them or they face one hurdle after another. We're talking about resilience, a concept that has become influential among psychologists. But resilience isn't just the ability to persevere. As we'll see in this chapter, it is also an outlook we can cultivate to stay focused on the important things in life rather than what is most urgent, and to keep ourselves from being carried away by negative emotions. In the final section of the chapter, we'll explore techniques that go beyond resilience to cultivate anti-fragility. Sooner or later, we all have to face difficult moments, and the way we do this can make a huge difference to our quality of life. Proper training for our mind, body, and emotional resilience is essential for confronting life's ups and downs. Nana korobi, yaoki. Fall 7 times, rise 8. Japanese proverb. Resilience is our ability to deal with setbacks. The more resilient we are, the easier it will be to pick ourselves up and get back to what gives meaning to our lives. Resilient people know how to stay focused on their objectives, on what matters, without giving in to discouragement. Their flexibility is the source of their strength. They know how to adapt to change and to reversals of fortune. They concentrate on the things they can control and don't worry about those they can't. In the words of the famous Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr, God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Emotional resilience through Buddhism and Stoicism. Siddhartha Gautama, Buddha, was born a prince of Kapilavastu, Nepal, and grew up in a palace surrounded by riches. At 16, he married and had a child. Not satisfied by his family's wealth, at 29, he decided to try a different lifestyle and ran away from the palace to live as an ascetic. But it wasn't asceticism that he was looking for. It didn't offer the happiness and well-being he sought. Neither wealth nor extreme asceticism worked for him. He realized that a wise person should not ignore life's pleasures. A wise person can live with these pleasures, but should always remain conscious of how easy it is to be enslaved by them. Zeno of Citium began his studies with the Cynics. The Cynics also led ascetic lives, leaving behind all earthly pleasures. They lived in the street, and the only thing they owned was the clothing on their backs. Seeing that cynicism did not give him a sense of well-being, Zeno abandoned its teachings to found the school of Stoicism, which centers on the idea there is nothing wrong with enjoying life's pleasures as long as they do not take control of your life as you enjoy them. You have to be prepared for those pleasures to disappear. The goal is not to eliminate all feelings and pleasures from our lives, as in cynicism, but to eliminate negative emotions. Since their inception, one of the objectives of both Buddhism and Stoicism has been to control pleasure, emotions, and desires. Though the philosophies are very different, both aim to curb our ego and control our negative emotions. Both Stoicism and Buddhism are, at their roots, methods for practicing well-being. According to Stoicism, our pleasures and desires are not the problem. We can enjoy them as long as they don't take control of us. The Stoics viewed those who were able to control their emotions as virtuous. What's the worst thing that could happen? We finally land our dream job, but after a while, we are already hunting for a better one. We win the lottery and buy a nice car, but then decide we can't live without a sailboat. We finally win the heart of a man or woman we've been pining for, and suddenly find we have a wandering eye. People can be insatiable. The Stoics believe that these kinds of desires and ambitions are not worth pursuing. The objective of the virtuous person is to reach a state of tranquility, apatheia, the absence of negative feelings such as anxiety, fear, shame, vanity, and anger, and the presence of positive feelings such as happiness, love, serenity, and gratitude. In order to keep their minds virtuous, the Stoics practice something like negative visualization. They imagine the worst thing that could happen in order to be prepared if certain privileges and pleasures were taken from them. To practice negative visualization, we have to reflect on negative events, but without worrying about them. Seneca, one of the richest men in ancient Rome, lived a life of luxury but was, nonetheless, an active Stoic. He recommended practicing negative visualization every night before falling asleep. In fact, he not only imagined these negative situations, he actually put them into practice. For example, by living for a week without servants, or the food and drink he was used to as a wealthy man. As a result, he was able to answer the question, what's the worst thing that could happen? Meditating for healthier emotions. In addition to negative visualization and not giving in to negative emotions, another central tenet of Stoicism is knowing what we can control and what we can't, as we see in the Serenity Prayer. Worrying about things that are beyond our control accomplishes nothing. We should have a clear sense of what we can change and what we can't, which in turn will allow us to resist giving in to negative emotions. In the words of Epictetus, it's not what happens to you, but how you react that matters. In Zen Buddhism, meditation is a way to become aware of our desires and emotions and thereby free ourselves from them. It is not simply a question of keeping the mind free of thoughts, but instead involves observing our thoughts and emotions as they appear, without getting carried away by them. In this way, we train our minds not to get swept up in anger, jealousy, or resentment. One of the most commonly used mantras in Buddhism focuses on controlling negative emotions. Om Mani Padme Hum, in which Om is the generosity that purifies the ego, Ma is the ethics that purifies jealousy. Ni is the patience that purifies passion and desire. Pad is the precision that purifies bias. Mi is the surrender that purifies greed. And Hum is the wisdom that purifies hatred. The here and now and the impermanence of things. Another key to cultivating resilience is knowing in which time to live. Both Buddhism and Stoicism remind us that the present is all that exists, and it is the only thing we can control. Instead of worrying about the past or the future, we should appreciate things just as they are in the moment, in the now. The only moment in which you can truly be alive is the present moment, observes the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. In addition to living in the here and now, the Stoics recommend reflecting on the impermanence of things around us. The Roman emperor Marcus Aurelius said that the things we love are like the leaves of a tree. They can fall at any moment with a gust of wind. He also said that changes in the world around us are not accidental, but rather form part of the essence of the universe, a rather Buddhist notion, in fact. We should never forget that everything we have and all the people we love will disappear at some point. This is something we should keep in mind, but without giving in to pessimism. Being aware of the impermanence of things does not have to make us sad. It should help us love the present moment and those who surround us. All things human are short-lived and perishable, Seneca tells us. The temporary, ephemeral, and impermanent nature of the world is central to every Buddhist discipline. Keeping this always in mind helps us avoid excessive pain in times of loss. Wabi-sabi and ichigo-ichie. Wabi-sabi is a Japanese concept that shows us the beauty of the fleeting, changeable, and imperfect nature of the world around us. Instead of searching for beauty in perfection, we should look for it in things that are flawed, incomplete. This is why the Japanese place such value, for example, on an irregular or cracked teacup. Only things that are imperfect, incomplete, and ephemeral can truly be beautiful, because only those things resemble the natural world. A complementary Japanese concept is that of ichigo-ichie, which could be translated as, "This moment exists only now and won't come again." It is heard most often in social gatherings as a reminder that each encounter, whether with family, friends, or strangers, is unique and will never be repeated, meaning that we should enjoy the moment and not lose ourselves in worries about the past or the future. The concept is commonly used in tea ceremonies, Zen meditation, and Japanese martial arts, all of which place emphasis on being present in the moment. In the West, we've grown accustomed to the permanence of the stone buildings and cathedrals of Europe, which sometimes gives us the sense that nothing changes, making us forget about the passage of time. Greco-Roman architecture adores symmetry, sharp lines, imposing facades, and buildings and statues of the gods that outlast the centuries. Japanese architecture, on the other hand, doesn't try to be imposing or perfect because it is built in the spirit of wabi-sabi. The tradition of making structures out of wood presupposes their impermanence and the need for future generations to rebuild them. Japanese culture accepts the fleeting nature of the human being and everything we create. The Grand Shrine of Ise, for example, has been rebuilt every 20 years for centuries. The most important thing is not to keep the building standing for generations, but to preserve customs and traditions. Things that can withstand the passage of time better than structures made by human hands. The key is to accept that there are certain things over which we have no control, like the passage of time and the ephemeral nature of the world around us. Ichigo-ichie teaches us to focus on the present and enjoy each moment that life brings us. This is why it is so important to find and pursue our ikigai. Wabi-sabi teaches us to appreciate the beauty of imperfection as an opportunity for growth. Beyond resilience, anti-fragility. As the legend goes, the first time Hercules faced a hydra, he despaired when he discovered that cutting off one of its heads meant that two would grow back in its place. He would never be able to kill the beast if it got stronger with every wound. As Nassim Nicholas Taleb explains in Antifragile, Things That Gain from Disorder, we use the word fragile to describe people, things, and organizations that are weakened when harmed, and the words robust and resilient for things that are able to withstand harm without weakening. But we don't have a word for things that get stronger when harmed, up to a point. To refer to the kind of power possessed by the Hydra of Lerna, to talk about things that get stronger when they are harmed, Taleb proposed the term antifragile. Antifragility is beyond resilience or robustness. The resilient resists shocks and stays the same. The antifragile gets better. Catastrophes and exceptional circumstances offer good models for explaining antifragility. In 2011, a tsunami hit the Tohoku region of Japan, doing tremendous damage to dozens of cities and towns along the coast, most famously Fukushima. When we visited the affected coast 2 years after the catastrophe, Having driven for hours along cracked highways and past one empty gas station after another, we pass through several ghost towns whose streets have been taken over by the remnants of houses, piles of cars, and empty train stations. These towns were fragile spaces that had been forgotten by the government and could not recover on their own. Other places, such as Ishinomaki and Kesennuma, suffered extensive damage but were rebuilt within a few years, thanks to the efforts of many. Ishinomaki and Kesennuma showed how resilient they were in their ability to return to normal after the catastrophe. The earthquake that caused a tsunami also affected the Fukushima nuclear power plant. The Tokyo Electric Power Company engineers working at the plant were not prepared to recover from that kind of damage. The Fukushima nuclear facility is still in a state of emergency and will be for decades to come. It demonstrated its fragility in the face of an unprecedented catastrophe. The Japanese financial markets closed minutes after the earthquake. Which businesses did the best in the aftermath? Stock in big construction companies had been steadily on the rise since 2011. The need to rebuild the entire coast of Tohoku is a boon for construction. In this case, Japanese construction companies are anti-fragile, since they benefited enormously from the catastrophe. Now, let's look at how we can apply this concept to our daily lives. How can we be more anti-fragile? Step 1. Create more options. Instead of having a single salary, try to find a way to make money from your hobbies, at other jobs, or by starting your own business. If you have only one salary, you might be left with nothing should your employer run into trouble, leaving you in a position of fragility. On the other hand, if you have several options and you lose your primary job, it might just happen that you end up dedicating more time to your secondary job and maybe even make more money at it. You would have beaten that stroke of bad luck and would be, in that case, anti-fragile. 100% of the seniors we interviewed in Ogimi had a primary and secondary occupation. Most of them kept a vegetable garden as a secondary job and sold their produce at the local market. The same idea goes for friendships and personal interests. It's just a matter, as the saying goes, of not putting all your eggs in one basket. In the sphere of romantic relationships, there are those who focus all their energy on their partner and make him or her their whole world. Those people lose everything if the relationship doesn't work out, whereas if they've cultivated strong friendships and a full life along the way, they'll be in a better position to move on at the end of the relationship. They'll be anti-fragile. Right now, you might be thinking, I don't need more than one salary, and I'm happy with the friends I've always had. Why should I add anything new? It might seem like a waste of time to add variation to our lives because extraordinary things don't ordinarily happen. We slip into a comfort zone, but the unexpected always happens sooner or later. Step 2. Bet conservatively in certain areas and take many small risks in others. The world of finance turns out to be very useful in explaining this concept. If you have $10,000 saved up, you might put $9,000 of that into an index fund or fixed-term deposit and invest the remaining $1,000 in 10 startups with huge growth potential, say $100 in each. One possible scenario is that three of the companies fail. You lose $300. The value of three other companies goes down. You lose another $100 or $200. The value of three goes up. You make $100 or $200. And the value of one of your startups increased 20-fold. You make nearly $2,000 or maybe even more. You still make money, even if three of the businesses go completely belly up. You've benefited from the damage, just like the Hydra. The key to becoming anti-fragile is taking on small risks that might lead to great reward without exposing ourselves to dangers that might sink us, such as investing $10,000 in a fund of questionable reputation that we saw advertised in the newspaper. Step 3. Get rid of the things that make you fragile. We're taking the negative route for this exercise. Ask yourself, what makes me fragile? Certain people, things, and habits generate losses for us and make us vulnerable. Who and what are they? When we make our New Year's resolutions, we tend to emphasize adding new challenges to our lives. It's great to have this kind of objective, but setting good riddance goals can have an even bigger impact. For example, stop snacking between meals. Eat sweets only once a week. Gradually pay off all debt. Avoid spending time with toxic people. Avoid spending time doing things we don't enjoy simply because we feel obligated to do them. Spend no more than 20 minutes on Facebook per day. To build resilience into our lives, we shouldn't fear adversity because each setback is an opportunity for growth. If we adopt an anti-fragile attitude, we'll find a way to get stronger with every blow, refining our lifestyle and staying focused on our ikigai. Taking a hit or two can be viewed as either a misfortune or an experience that we can apply to all areas of our lives as we continually make corrections and set new and better goals. As Taleb writes in Anti-Fragile, we need randomness, mess, adventures, uncertainty, self-discovery, hear traumatic episodes, all these things that make life worth living. We encourage those interested in the concept of anti-fragility to read Nassim Nicholas Taleb's Anti-Fragile. Life is pure imperfection, as the philosophy of wabi-sabi teaches us, and the passage of time shows us that everything is fleeting. But if you have a clear sense of your ikigai, each moment will hold so many possibilities that it will seem almost like an eternity. Epilogue. Ikigai, the art of living. Mitsuo Aida was one of the most important calligraphers and haikuists of the 20th century. He is yet another example of a Japanese person who dedicated his life to a very specific ikigai. Communicating emotions with 17-syllable poems using a shodo calligraphy brush. Many of Aida's haiku philosophize about the importance of the present moment and the passage of time. See PDF. 今ここにしかない。私の命、あなたの命。The poem could be translated as, In the here and now, the only thing in my life is your life. In another poem, Aida writes simply, here, now. It is an artwork that seeks to evoke feelings of mono no aware, a melancholy appreciation of the ephemeral. See PDF. 今ここ. The following poem touches on one of the secrets of bringing ikigai into our lives. Happiness is always determined by your heart. 幸せはいつも自分の心が決める。 This last one, also by Aida, means keep going, don't change your path. そのままでいいかな。 Once you discover your ikigai, pursuing it and nurturing it every day will bring meaning to your life. The moment your life has this purpose, you will achieve a happy state of flow in all you do.Like the calligrapher at his canvas, or the chef who, after half a century, still prepares sushi for his patrons with love. Conclusion. Our ikigai is different for all of us, but one thing we have in common is that we are all searching for meaning. When we spend our days feeling connected to what is meaningful to us, we live more fully. When we lose the connection, we feel despair.Modern life estranges us more and more from our true nature, making it very easy for us to lead lives lacking in meaning. Powerful forces and incentives, money, power, attention, success, distract us on a daily basis. Don't let them take over your life. Our intuition and curiosity are very powerful internal compasses to help us connect with our ikigai. Follow those things you enjoy.And get away from or change those you dislike. Be led by your curiosity and keep busy by doing things that fill you with meaning and happiness. It doesn't need to be a big thing. We might find meaning in being good parents or in helping our neighbors. There is no perfect strategy to connecting with our ikigai. But what we learned from the Okinawans is that we should not worry too much about finding it. Life is not a problem to be solved. Just remember to have something that keeps you busy, doing what you love while being surrounded by the people who love you. The 10 Rules of Ikigai. We'll conclude this journey with 10 rules we've distilled from the wisdom of the long-living residents of Ogimi. 1. Stay active. Don't retire. Those who give up the things they love doing and do well lose their purpose in life. That's why it's so important to keep doing things of value, making progress, bringing beauty or utility to others, helping out, and shaping the world around you, even after your official professional activity has ended. 2. Take it slow. Being in a hurry is inversely proportional to quality of life. As the old saying goes, walk slowly and you'll go far. When we leave urgency behind, life and time take on new meaning. 3. Don't fill your stomach. Less is more when it comes to eating for long life too. According to the 80% rule, in order to stay healthier longer, we should eat a little less than our hunger demands instead of stuffing ourselves. 4. Surround yourself with good friends. Friends are the best medicine. They're for confiding worries over a good chat, sharing stories that brighten your day, getting advice, having fun, dreaming. In other words, living. 5. Get in shape for your next birthday. Water moves. It is at its best when it flows fresh and doesn't stagnate. The body you move through life in needs a bit of daily maintenance to keep it running for a long time. Plus, exercise releases hormones that make us feel happy. 6. A cheerful attitude is not only relaxing, it also helps make friends. It's good to recognize the things that aren't so great, but we should never forget what a privilege it is to be in the here and now in a world so full of possibilities. 7. Reconnect with nature. Though most people live in cities these days, human beings are made to be part of the natural world. We should return to it often to recharge our batteries. 8. Give thanks to your ancestors, to nature, which provides you with the air you breathe and the food you eat, to your friends and family, to everything that brightens your day and makes you feel lucky to be alive. Spend a moment every day giving thanks, and you'll watch your stockpile of happiness grow. 9. Live in the moment. Stop regretting the past and fearing the future. Today is all you have. Make the most of it. Make it worth remembering. 10. Follow your ikigai. There is a passion inside you, a unique talent that gives meaning to your days and drives you to share the best of yourself until the very end. If you don't know what your ikigai is yet, as Viktor Frankl says, your mission is to discover it. The authors of this book wish you a long, happy, and purposeful life. Thank you for joining us. Hector Garcia and Francesc Mirales. Ikigai is published by Random House Audiobooks, a division of the Penguin Random House Group. Copyright, Hector Garcia and Francesc Mirares, 2017. Copyright and recording, Random House Audiobooks. Hector Garcia and Francesc Mirares have asserted their right under the Copyright Designs and Patents Act 1988 to be identified as the authors of this work.